Pastor. Bless you, sir. In your Bibles tonight, let's look at the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. I'm grateful for this privilege, and we're praying that God will help us be a help. I have nothing within me, but I give myself to Him.
Amen.
And we're praying that the Lord will use us for His glory. Acts chapter, by the way, I appreciate all the good preaching.
Amen.
I've been in some meetings where I, along with Brother Vance Havner, said he heard that man said he preached and preached and preached and almost said something. But I'm grateful that the messages have been clear, been biblical,
yes, sir,
and God has used them to speak to our heart.
Yes,
we're interested in the will of God.
Right.
Amen.
And Paul said, now when your faith is increased,
yeah,
we shall be enlarged by you to preach the gospel in regions beyond. And so our faith is built through the Word of God.
Right.
So we're asking God to increase our faith.
Amen.
By the way, that will help an increase in your mission budget,
right,
when our faith increases. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up. And I want to preach tonight from this passage of Scripture and deal with the final briefing, the Lord's final briefing. Let us pray. Father, bless, I pray, the reading of your word.
Yes.
And Lord, we again are reminded that without you we can do nothing.
Yes.
And by faith we give ourselves to thee unreservedly, no deals being made, no strings attached. We pray that you'd take us in your hands and that you might speak through our lips,
yes,
of clay. Dear God, that you might rebuke the enemy. I plead the blood of Christ for protection. I pray for that soul that's here tonight that's troubled in their heart about their relationship with thee. I pray the Holy Spirit might bring real conviction to that heart, might draw them to Christ, that they might be born again by the grace of God. I pray that you'd stir our hearts as believers, change us to be more like thee. Help us to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in all that's said and done. We thank you for the good preaching today.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for the good singing and the testimonies. Thank you for these missionaries that's given themselves to thee, that they might be used in another place. And I pray that you'd bless them with the need of support, that you might supply that, that you keep them safe as they travel. We pray that you'd give them the desires of their heart.
Yes.
And we thank you and praise thee for all you will do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may take your seats. I'm reminded of my pastor, Dr. Buffington, when I was battling about the will of God for my life. And I'd go to him and he would give me some instruction and he'd say, Brother Joe, the desires and the aspirations of your heart If it's to honor God, God put it there.
Right.
And he said, you know that the devil doesn't do that if it's to honor God. But he said, here's how you can tell it's of God. If it's there today, if it's there tomorrow, next week, next month. He said it might be more intense one day than another, but that desire will be there. I'm grateful that years ago, amen, over 56 years ago, I'm grateful that God put a desire in my heart to be in his will, doing what he's chosen for my life. I realize this, that it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that starts the fire and God that fans the flame. It's God that gives the hunger and God that satisfies the hunger. It's God that gives the direction and God will use you and God will use me if we will give ourselves to him. Someone said in the prayer room tonight, there was relating to years ago, some older men in the ministry, and they made the statement, and it stuck in my heart. They said there was a different spirit back in those days. And I'm convinced of this. It was the Holy Spirit. And by the way, we've got to the place to where we can preach without the Spirit of God and teach without the Spirit of God. But I say to you, without him, we can do nothing. We're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Amen. The disciple, our Lord is speaking to these disciples, and he said back in John 14, when they're troubled about his leaving, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So he said, don't be troubled about some person to believe in. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. And then I go to prepare a place for you. And so he said, don't be troubled about a place to live in. I'm going to provide a place for you. And then he said, don't be troubled about a promise to rest in. If I go, I'm going to come again. And then he said, don't be troubled about a path to walk in. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so the final breathing, before he left them, and went back to heaven. And by the way, this is recorded and from John 13 to John 17. This is in the upper room before he went to the cross. And by the way, he is the source of life. Amen. For in him we live and move and have our being. I'm saying to you, is Christ in us the hope of glory? Amen. And so he's the source of our life. In John chapter 8 through 12, he's the shining light. In John 13 through 17, he speaks of the secret of love. In John 17 through 21, he talks about the sufferings of our Lord. The message tells them of the help that they can have by the Holy Spirit after he's gone back to heaven. I say the Spirit of God descends and he shows them the help that they can enjoy. In John chapter 13, he talks about the cleansing of their walk. I'm grateful that there's cleansing. Amen. And then John 14, he speaks of the answering of their prayers. In John chapter 15, he talks about producing fruit. In John chapter 16, he is showing them the Spirit's ministry. In John chapter 17, he is praying for them. Praise God and the Lamb forever. I'm grateful that he not only prayed for them, but he prays for us. Amen. And so I come to Acts chapter 1. There's an express principle. He said to those disciples, they're asking the question, will you at this time set up the kingdom? And he said this. He said, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. He repeated a promise in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power. And then he outlined a program. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. Establish a priority. You shall be witnesses unto me. And the little word that's overlooked many times in that verse is the word both. We're to be missionaries and witnesses here and there at the same time. And that's why I'm grateful for the emphasis in this meeting about the matter of church planters. If a missionary is not going to do out there what you're trying to do here, they're not worthy of support. Amen. And so I believe that's where we missed the mark in America. We failed. And back in the 60s and 70s, the mega church movement was so popular in those days. And listen, there's many, many places in America that needs a gospel witness. And we failed in the fact of not trying to plant or establish other New Testament churches. And by the way, if we don't strengthen that base, we'll not have the funds to endorse those that's going to the foreign field. And so it's both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the, we do that at the same time. Amen. And so he said, you shall receive power, establish the priority, you shall be witnesses. He outlined the program. We begin outside the door. We begin at our Jerusalem and then we go to Judea and Samaria and uttermost part. But the meeting in Acts chapter 1 verse 4 through 11 is during the end of the 40 days after the resurrection. And the Lord is in instructing these disciples. And so he's meeting with them for a final briefing before he goes back to heaven. And there's four matters that are clearly seen in the text. And the Lord knew what they needed. And by the way, this is his last words to them before he sent. He knows. By the way, could I remind you tonight that God knows what you need to. I might not know, but God knows. Hey, and sometimes we don't even know our own need. But I'm grateful that he's a gracious God, a patient God that is interested in us. And by the way, he wants us to be the witness that will glorify him. I say to you, he deals with them about the problem that concerned them. Verse number 7, and that's saying, when will we set up the kingdom? In verse number 8, he gives them the program to encourage or to challenge them. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. In verse 8 again, he said, you shall receive power, the power that changed them. And then the prospect that cheered them, verse 9 through 11. Praise God. He's coming back. Amen. He's going, but he's coming back. Hallelujah. And just any day now, Jesus Christ going to break through the blue and catch his bride away. Amen. Now, let me give you a little few thoughts tonight about here is a practices for every believer. If you'll note with me, there was a problem that concerned these disciples. Notice with me, if you would please, verse 6 and verse number 7. The Bible said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. It's not for you to know the times or the season. And so Luke gives affirmation of that, verse 1 through 3. It's the ministry of Christ. And listen, he speaks about the kingdom and the resurrection of Christ. And in verse 4 and 5, the Lord made the announcement. He spoke of the coming of the Spirit. I'm grateful that the Spirit of God came. Amen. Jesus said, now, I'm going to send back, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And he shall be with you because he's going to abide in you. Hey, and Paul writing, he said, if any man hath not the Spirit of God, listen, he's not a child of God. I got crossed up. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And so we're reminded that of this, that the Lord made an announcement, verse 4 and 5. He spoke of the coming of the Spirit in verse number 4. He said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. He said, you've heard of me. And so the Lord makes that announcement. He spoke of the coming of the Spirit. Luke chapter 24, he deals with there would come a time of waiting upon the Lord, waiting for the coming of the Spirit of God. Are y'all listening? But listen, I'm grateful that since Pentecost, there's no waiting for him to come. If you're born again, the Holy Ghost moved in. And so when I say I got saved June 14th, 1960, on a Friday night, the Holy Ghost said, amen. I was there when it happened. Amen. Can I say to you, the Spirit of the living God moved in and he speaks to my heart. I go to church sometimes. Brother Warren's feeling pretty good about myself, but as the preaching gets going, the Spirit of God takes that word and makes application of my life, and I feel like, boy, I ought to crawl to the altar. And by the way, I believe this. I believe the Spirit of God is so quenched in the average independent, fundamental, temperamental Baptist church. Listen, no wonder not much is being accomplished in those churches. Why? The Spirit of God is so grieved. Amen. We're promoting a personality religion. Could I say to you, Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he said again, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God wants me to He wants me to comprehend the truth about him. He's not the man upstairs. He's not a cross between Grandpa and Santa Claus. He's a holy God. He's a mighty God. He's a sovereign God. I'm saying he's my God and he's your God. And so Jesus is saying the Spirit of God's going to come. There'll be a waiting time. And then he spoke of the baptism of the Spirit. And by the way, there's nowhere in this Bible that I read that there's a command to be baptized with the Spirit. That happens when you got saved. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And God doesn't have two bodies. He just has one body. And he has no stepchildren. And I say to you, if you're saved, you're part of the same body. Amen. Amen. We're one in Christ. Amen. And so I'm reminded that he spoke with them of the baptism of the Spirit. And they would be power now for witnessing. God doesn't send us forth without equipping us. And so you understand the disciples asked about a waiting kingdom in verse number 6. And Christ had spoken of a coming kingdom. And so they're reminded of that in the Old Testament prophets. They spoke about the coming kingdom, Isaiah chapter 11. And then they knew nothing of the church age. On that testimony of the Apostle Peter, Jesus said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And some said, well, thou art John the Baptist or Elias or one of the prophets. But Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? Peter said, hey, I'd like to answer that question. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Our Lord said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh hath not revealed that in thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes again, the church will still be right intact. Amen. Amen. And so they knew nothing of the church age. But again, the Lord declared an assured truth. Notice verse 7. He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. The Lord declares this is your truth. He's basically saying the secret things belong unto God. Right. And again, he reveals the truth as it is needed in our life. Right. Amen. Amen. Notice, secondly, there was a program that challenged them. He said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. We spent a lifetime preaching about doing. And God emphasized being. We're to be witnesses. We're to be witnesses. That's what it said. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And I say, they were to do what? They were to preach Christ with their lips clearly. And they were to portray Christ with their lives holily. It is this. They were to present Christ to a lost world effectively. And by the way, you won't do that apart from the Holy Spirit's ministry. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how educated you might be. Listen, without him, we can do nothing. And it's the Spirit of God, what? He whets our appetite. The psalmist said, blessed are they. No. And Jesus said on the Mount, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm afraid tonight that we've got folks that are hungering and thirsting after what God can do instead of hungering and thirsting for God. Amen. Amen. You're welcome. Amen. My hunger and my thirst is right, my affections will be right. I'll be laying up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not break through, where the IRS doesn't get through either. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Listen, he said, if we're laying up treasures, my affections will be right. But if I hunger and thirst right, then my allegiance will be right. I'll not be trying to serve two masters. If my hunger and thirst is right, then my ambition will be right. I'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm saying, how's your hunger for God tonight? has a thirst for God. Are we willing to do what God has left us here to do? And so they were to witness locally at home. That's at the doctor's office. That's down at City Hall. That's down at the, listen, I'm saying to the grocery store, we're to be witnesses, not doing, but being witnesses. We're to do it locally at home. We're to be witnessing universally to every creature, and we're to be witnessing continually. That's what missions is about, and it starts, hey, you don't have to cross the water to be a missionary. We're to be witnesses unto Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm afraid some folk are not witnessing Christ because they don't have anything to witness about. Hello, you're welcome to. And so it is noticed the witness to be effective, it was to be done fully. It was to be done fully. Preach Christ as it's set forth in the scriptures. I respect you, but your opinion and my opinion is equally valued. They're worthless. It's not your opinion or my opinion, it's what God said.
Amen.
I've had folks say, well, I know that's what the Bible said, but I believe it. It doesn't matter what you believe. God's word is the... And so we'd do what? He was a saving, sovereign, scriptural Christ.
Amen.
And so I see this. Paul did it. Peter did it. And I'm reminded in Acts chapter 2, where they're talking about the preaching of the word of God. Paul did it. Peter did it. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 through 42. And so we're to be a witness fully for Christ. But we're to be witnessing faithfully to Christ. They were to be true to the full revelation of God. I'm grateful that I have a copy of God's word. I'm grateful. I have many copies of the Bible, but I'm grateful that God has afforded me a copy of his word. And God didn't call me to explain away the word of God. He called me to preach the word of God. It's not preaching about the word of God. It's preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God to men as they are. And the gospel is still the power of God into salvation to everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So that's our business. We're to be a faithful witness, and we're to witness fully. And so if they're to be true to the full revelation, we leave nothing out. And so Jesus said, now I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's not the whole commission. And let me back up a minute and say this. The Great Commission was given to the local church.
Yes, it was.
It was not given to a mission board.
Amen.
And it was not given to any mission agency.
Right.
And it was not given to a missionary.
Right.
It was given to a local church.
Amen.
And listen, it is a local church that sends, along with the Holy Spirit, that sends out. That's the commissioning of that missionary. He's found the will of God. God wants him to go to Spain, or God wants him to go to Thailand, or God wants him to start a Spanish work in Chattanooga. He's got that settled in his heart, and he's raised support, and he's ready to go. And so the church puts their stamp of approval. He goes to the field and begins knocking on doors, being the same witness over there that he has been over here. Amen. And as he wins people to the Lord, he has to have the authority of the local church to baptize anybody before, or if you're going to do it right.
Right.
And so they by proxy become a member of this church. Amen. Y'all all right with that? But I'm saying to you, and then when they get to the place where their church is constituted, then that church gives the authority to the man of God. And so no evangelist has authority to baptize. Listen, that crowd that gathers up at the beach or baptizes folk in a hot tub somewhere along the way, you don't have the authority to do that unless a church has given you the authority to do it. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm saying we've got so many things out of order today that it's no wonder that we're not seeing much accomplished today for the glory of God. And so I'm grateful for these missionaries that are going to take this same message that's been preached in this meeting. They're going to the field to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So they present the whole counsel of God. And they do it anywhere. They do it everywhere. And they're to do it always. And how do they do it? They do it fervently. Fervently. Preach it where men will realize the importance of a decision that has to be made. Now, I know years ago Billy Graham made popular the matter of making a decision, but I want to say to you tonight, no one ever gets saved without making a decision. Colossians 2:6, the Bible said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. I do not believe you get saved any time you want to. But I don't believe you'll ever get saved until you want to. And it's the Spirit of God and His drawing power and the wooing power of the Spirit of God that puts that want to. I didn't get saved because somebody forced me. God respects your free will. God's grieved over your self-will. God challenges your stubborn will. But He always responds to the yielded will. And so He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants a lost church member saved. But He wants that man on Skid Row saved. He wants the homeless saved. He wants your family saved. I'm saying to you, God help us to be faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so do it fervently. It's important as they commit themselves to the Lord. By the way, don't get caught up in comparing experiences.
Come on, that's right.
There's people that said, well, if you didn't pray the way I prayed, you didn't get saved. I'm going to tell you, you might not think of it, but I don't remember everything I did say, but I do remember this. The Holy Ghost made it so plain to me that I was a lost sinner on the way to hell and headed toward hell in a hurry. Not only pointed that, but He pointed me to the Lamb of God that suffered all hell for all sinners for all eternity. And He said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe I will. When I came, I knelt. The blood fell and God saved my soul. Be careful. I didn't cry. I didn't shout. I didn't run the aisle, but I got born again. I was quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God. There's people who say, well, if you doubt your salvation, I doubt it too. That might sound smart, but I'm telling you, there's people that have doubted their salvation, and some of them ought to doubt it. Hello. But I read this verse of Scripture in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse number 13, the Bible said, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. So if you get to the place where you're troubled about your relationship with Christ and you can't get it settled in that book, you've got a serious problem.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
I ordained a man that answered every question right. I ordained him as a deacon in my church. And about 3 months later, maybe 4 months later, sitting on that side, he came forward one night and said, preacher, I'm not saved. I wasn't preaching on the matter of folks. And by the way, I detest this matter of folks that are trying to get others to make another profession of faith, another profession of faith. And they come back next year and they do the same thing over to make another profession of faith, another profession of faith. No. I'm not for this crowd that says I'm a missionary to Mexico, but they're not going to move to Mexico. They go down and hold a few days conference down there and come back and said we had 3,000 saved and we established 3 churches while we were there. I don't believe a word of it. I know missionaries been in Mexico 25 years, and they might not have 25 in attendance today, but they're faithful to the Word of God. They've been a faithful witness. And by the way, be reminded, it is not man that gives the increase. It is God that gives the increase. And so be careful about comparing experiences. You can't get saved without having some sort of an experience. But it's a matter of recognizing I was a sinner on the way to hell, and when I got up, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. So I'm talking about being a witness. And so it was to be urgent, calling them to the battlefront immediately. Do it now. Be a witness to God now. And so I'm reminded of this, that number 3, there was a power that would change them. I'd like to spend an hour here tonight, but I'm not going to. There was a power that changed them. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And by the way, could I say, he said, ye shall receive power. If you receive the Spirit of God, you receive power to be a witness for the Lord. And so weak men were made strong, and cowards were made giants for God, and half-hearted men will be brave men for Christ because of the power of God. Icy cold hearts will be melted, and the message will flow like a river, I'm saying to you, flowing. And the disciples were waiting for something, And the Lord said, tarry for the infusing of divine power. That power would enrich them spiritually.
Amen.
That power would enlighten them in truth. That power would encourage them to go on.
Right.
That power would enable them to meet any task. That power would energize them to motivate. And that power would equip them and fill them. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Spirit of God. And by the way, that is what makes a difference in our life. Are we yielded to Him? Is the Spirit of God having control of my life? I'm do what? Missions begins by abandoning myself to the Lord. I give myself to the Lord willingly, not because somebody's forcing me, but because I want to. And so when I came down that night, I said, sink or swim, survive or perish, I give you my all. I have no regrets and no retreat. I bless His name tonight for every step of the way. Has it always been a smooth sail? No! But praise God, I'm never alone.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ is with me.
Amen.
And so a good witness needs and must have the power of God for witnessing.
Yes.
And so, and by the way, let me insert this. You can't fill someone that's not empty. You have to be emptied of self. And so I'm afraid, I'm afraid there's times that we're praying for the fullness of the Spirit of God in order to perform.
Yeah, there you go.
In order to impress.
Yeah.
No, wrong motive.
Right.
We ought to be filled with the Spirit of God that God might get all the glory and the praise and the honor. He deserves it.
That's right.
We don't deserve it. And so I come back to this. We understand you shall receive power. And a good witness needs and must have the power of God for witnessing. The power to motivate them, they're driven by that power. It's like George Mueller. It's like Arnon Judson that spent all those years on the field without one convert until after 7 years. But what enabled him to go on? The Spirit of God's power.
Amen.
And by the way, the Holy Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God is not given to make you feel good. Amen. The Spirit is given that God might be glorified. I'm talking about this will work here in our city and around the world. And so the power to motivate us, we're driven by that. The power to minister through them. The power to make them mighty. And so there's power to exalt the fullness of Christ, all He is. I'm saying power to express the favors of the gospel. There's power in the Spirit of God. Power to extend a fervent testimony of Christ and power to exhibit the fruit of a changed life. Oh, how we need that power today. I need that. I need God to touch my life. Somebody said, how is it that you Baptists had to be filled with the Spirit of God so often? And another man said, well, it's because we're just too leaky.
Yeah.
Old Dr. Tom Lone used to say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, where two or three independent Baptists are gathered together, they're probably planning to start another fundamental independent Baptist church. The Spirit of God is not guilty of tearing down one church to build up another. And so there was a prospect that cheered him. Notice verse number 11, and I'll be done in a minute. The Bible said, he said in verse number 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, he's not going to send a substitute. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. And so there's a prospect that cheered them. And the prospect is this. If I go, I'm going to come again.
Amen.
So just any day now, Jesus Christ will come. He's going to come. And so when He comes, I want to have my hand on the plow, my eyes on the goal, saying no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm saying I want to keep on keeping on until Jesus comes or takes me home. And so the Lord is returning. He must return. He must return because of the unfulfilled promise, because of the unmanaged adversary, because of an ungovernable world and because of an unfailing Christ and because of unusual signs. The promise of the second coming is bright. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. I'm glad he didn't say, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren. But he said, we sorrow not as others which have no hope. And Jesus Christ is going to come. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
And so the night I got saved, days and nights before that, I was fearful that I might die in my sleep and wake up in hell. And by the way, that's a fearful thought. But since I've been born again, I haven't had fear of waking up in hell.
Right.
To be absent from the body for the child of God is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
And you understand that this prospect of the Lord's coming, listen, the quality of their lives were affected because they believe in the coming of Christ. John writing, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And he said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm grateful for the quality, added quality to their lives, activity in their service. He said, occupy till I come. That doesn't mean sit on your seat of do nothing. That means do business for God till he comes.
Amen.
Just keep on keeping on doing what you've been doing, doing what's right, the urgency of the task. Get at it. Listen, his coming is just around the corner. I don't know the day nor the hour, but I know he's coming.
Right.
And I know that things that are gathering together reminds us that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
If you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If your life is not being invested in the will of God, then tonight is a good night to change that and give yourself to the Lord unreservedly. And so we're to be faithful to the faith and faithful in the fight and faithful to the finish.
Amen.
We're to give out the word of God. And so there's an urgency of the task. Get at it. Go to work. Do it. Desire it. Endure it. Enjoy it. And rewards will come. I don't believe anybody ever serves Christ without being fully compensated by Christ.
That's right.
Amen. And so be reminded this. You'll have all eternity to enjoy the rewards, but you only have a short time to earn them. I ask you this question and I'm done. Does his program challenge you? Has his power changed you? And does his prospect cheer you?
Amen.
Are you thrilled about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? My grandson, I just have one. My grandson is to be married the 3rd of September. And he's been twice to the mission field in Guatemala. And he's marrying a young lady whose parents are involved in mission work in Guatemala. And he's made two trips out there. And I said, Connor, let me ask you this. If the Lord were to say to you, Connor, I want you to be a full-time missionary in Guatemala, how would you respond? And here's what my grandson said. He said, Papa, if that's what God wants me to do, that's what I want to do. His dad's a very successful businessman, but he's got a desire to serve the Lord, and I bless his name for that. And so we just have one daughter. She just turned 53 yesterday, and we have two grandchildren. Our granddaughter is a school teacher in the Christian school in Sevierville, and our grandson will be involved in real estate. And I'm thankful for the heritage that God's given us.
Amen.
But the most important thing in your life, in my life, would be, dear Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your spirit.
Yes, sir.
Empower me by the Spirit of God to do what I can while I can.
Yes, sir.
Realizing there'll come a time when I can't. May God help us. You shall. That's the final briefing. It didn't come from Luke. It came from the Lord.
Right.
It didn't come from a preacher. It came from our God. Thank you, Lord Pastor.
Amen.